Blog Talk Radio.
Light
about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from you, but the light shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both like one to thee. For you have possessed my rings, and that's like he has possessed your innermost being. Though he has covered me in my mother's womb, I praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiosity wrought and wrought me to shape, and he shaped in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in your book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely you shall slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, you bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take your name in vain, and vain means uselessness. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate you? Am not I grieved? That grieve here means to me, it means upset, with those that rise up against you. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O Lord Yah, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Hallelujah. We have finished reading the entire chapter for the book of Psalms. That's verses 1 through 24. I ask that our Heavenly Father give us understanding in the reading of His words. Amen. Now, sheep, let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. I know many of you pray better than I, but that's quite all right. Let's honor our Father in prayer. Before we get into today's lesson, Jesus rejected at Nazareth. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to live life on this day and every day. And thank you for allowing me to live in full health. Father, hold my tongue from spitting out words and sentences that will be hurtful to others, and then they refuse to be around me. Father, have mercy upon me and all my loved ones, those who are with me and those who are not right now. No matter what or when or how the evil one attacks us, bless me and my family to stay with you, Heavenly Father, and not let us turn back. Keep us out, let not one turn back. Thank you for keeping natural and chemical disasters away from Detroit, Michigan, your blessed city. Thank you for giving us sheep, sane, sound mind, and excellent health. I say this prayer in your Yeshua's name, a.k.a. or also known as Jesus. Amen. Well, sheep, let us turn to the book of Mark, chapter 6, where we left off. And I ask that our Heavenly Father will allow me to read chapter 6, all of it with the allotted time that I have selected. Although this computer has been acting up incorrectly for the last 3 weeks, it says that I'm not choosing the correct time zone. Well, the time zone that I'm supposed to have, or that I've chosen, is for Michigan Eastern Standard Time. And my program is to start at 8 a.m. But for some reason, my program has been set back for 9 o'clock. And if that's the way it has to be, then Heavenly Father, I ask you to allow me to be accepting of the way that someone wants it to be other than me. And perhaps you will give me listeners, more listeners than I ever thought I could have. And for those of you, if you're listening in a foreign country, because the code, the area code that I call into, when I looked it up on the computer, it is not in English land. It's in a land where people do not speak English. But I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan, and I wish you well wherever you are. And I pray that you're listening and can get an interpreter to interpret what I am saying to you. Of course, I read from the King James Version of the Bible. As a matter of fact, let me introduce myself and the name of this show. This is the Feed My Sheep show. I am Sandra Harris, your host, and I say happy Sabbath to everyone. Now, all this stuff that you hear in the background of my phone, I should not hear, because I pay AT&T good money for the usage of their airway. I should not hear what I'm hearing in the background. Nonetheless, happy Sabbath, everyone. The only day in my Bible, and I read from the King James Version of the Bible, that says Saturday, the Sabbath day is the only day in the Bible that tells you to keep holy rest. I read, and you can find that in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 8. It's also found in the book of Deuteronomy, where the Ten Commandments are. We are to keep the Sabbath holy, no matter what country you are in. And I count it a privilege that other countries, you're listening to my program in other countries, and I pray that they interpret this program with the area code that's shown where my host call-in number is located. I'm thinking that this program is especially geared to those in the United States, because I will say something that perhaps people in the United States don't like. But if you read the Bible, it's all written in this Bible. I'm not making it up. And it's something that I might expound upon and tell you what I think. And in the book of Isaiah, I think chapter 28, I don't remember exactly what verses, But it tells you, precept is up on precept, line by line, here a little and there a little. And what I've done over the past 5 years is read different Bibles of this, different chapters in the Bible, and that's how I come up with these different precepts. But nonetheless, let me get started with chapter 6 of Mark. Turn with me to chapter 6 of Mark. Again, I just want to say, if anyone at Blog Talk Radio is listening, none of my features are working, like the airtime is not working correctly, and the board is not lit up, but I'm going in faith anyhow. And it's difficult for me to get in contact with you to tell me what my issues are. Let's read. We're in the book of Mark, chapter 6. And he, when he says he here, he's talking about Jesus Christ. And, well, it says, and he went out from thence, this means from that place, and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day, that is the Saturday, or the seventh day, was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And a synagogue is a meeting place like a church or your temple, wherever you go to congregate and talk about our Heavenly Father. And when Jesus went, he would be reading or talking about from the old prophets, from the Old Testament. He would not be talking about from what's written in the New Testament of the Bible. And I am reading from one of the books of the New Testament in the Bible, and it's called Mark. And right now we're in Mark chapter 2. And many hearing him were astonished. They were surprised or amazed. That's what the word astonished means. Saying, from whence or from what place has this man these things? Because Jesus grew up in the area with them, and they knew him, you know, but God touched him and placed all these things in him. And he's just being obedient and doing what he has been commanded to do. And whence, it says, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought. Again, wrought means shaped by his hand. By his hands. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joses, and Judah, and Simeon? Are not his sisters here with us? They were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. Now let me read verse 4 again of Mark chapter 6. Here it says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Verse 5. And he said there, do not many, and he could there do not mighty works, save that lay hands upon a few sick and healed them. And he marveled, or he was, marvel means he was surprised as well as amazed because of their unbelief. Where their unbelief comes in, because they grew up with you. That's just like people in my neighborhood who know me. They would know Sandra as being plain Jane. She never does anything exciting. And so this is why they are amazed. I'm trying to give you an example why they are amazed at Jesus, because they knew him as a carpenter, and he would build things. And yes, he has built my home. I've seen it. He showed it to me about 4 years past. Once I started doing his work, he showed me this brand new home, and it was mine. I couldn't believe it. It is beautiful. Let me pick up reading again at verse 5 of Mark chapter 6. And he could there do not mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And he marveled, he was surprised and amazed because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching, and he called unto the 12 and began to send them forth by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff. And a staff is a stick that's like a walking cane. No script. That's any type of writings that may have been from what we call as the Old Testament for their journey. Save no script, no bread, no money in their purse, but the shod. And a shod is a shoe with sandals. They were to take sandals and not put on two coats. Verse 11. Verse 10. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide. You to stay there till ye depart from that place. And whatsoever and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, and this means depart from that place, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable. Tolerable means bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, he destroyed those two cities because of their sinful nature that the United States seems to be heading in with the same sex. Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So it would be better for you to receive Jesus' 12 than not, because it will be worse for you. It will be more tolerable or more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you in that day if you do not receive those he has sent unto you. Verse 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Well, what does repent mean? In my mind, Repent means to change your mindset. If you're acting one way and you know that it is not according to what is written in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, as well as his, I'm trying to think of the words I read the other day, his rules and precepts, then you should not do them. For instance, if you are cohabitating with the same sex, don't do that. That goes against God. That's why he came to save us who are lost. And he is telling us to repent. And I'm going to turn back to Mark, the first chapter, and I'll read to you where it says, Mark 14 and 15, it says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." And this is what I'm doing now. I'm reading to you what is in the gospel. I read to you about 4 years or so ago, the gospel of Matthew. Now I'm reading to you the gospel of Mark. And what it is that he came, we cannot get into the kingdom of heaven just by doing those things that we want to do. There is a requirement, and God has left his Ten Commandments as well as some other rules that we are to follow in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Let me read verse 15 of chapter 1. "And say, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, believe the gospel." And so, that's what I want us to do, to believe in the gospel. And those are the words that Jesus have had his servants to write. Now, I think I am in Mark 6, chapter 13. When I switch back, sometimes I forget to mark the place where I was, where I have left off. So let's pick up reading in Mark chapter 6, verse 13. "And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad." And abroad means spread everywhere. Everywhere where men were speaking, they spoke about what Jesus had done. "And he said that John the Baptist has risen from the dead, and thereby mighty works do show forth themselves in him." Verse 15, "Others said that it is Elijah, and others said, this is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself sent forth and laid hands and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother's wife's sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her." Now it's important, sheep, that you understand that is what is being said here, and it is that the Herod, the king, had married his brother's Philip's wife, Herodias. That's what it's saying. Now let me read verse 17 again, and hopefully you get an understanding. You will get an understanding. done as I have. For Herod himself sent for and laid hand upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Well, that leads me to wonder what happened to Philip. Verse 18, And John said unto Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him. No, she did not like what he was saying, telling her and telling the king that he couldn't have his brother's wife, and would have killed him, but she could not. That's Herodias. Let me read verse 19 again. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod, on his birthday, made a supper to the lords, his high captains, the chief estates of Galilee. I hope that you sheep are not hearing what I'm hearing in the background. Verse 22. And I must call AT&T and ask them, what is their problem? I should not be hearing anything in the background. No muttering or static or nothing. Verse 22. And when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask me whatsoever you will, and I will give it thee. And he swore unto her, whatsoever you shall ask me, I will give it unto thee until half of my kingdom. And he went forth and said unto her mother. Let me read verse 24 again. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. The she here is Herodias. She's telling her daughter to ask for the head of John the Baptist. And she came straightway, the damsel that had danced for him, Herodias' daughter, went straightway. She went immediately with haste, she hurried up unto the king and asked, saying, what will you give me in a charger? Let me start reading verse 25 again. And she came straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that you give me in a charger. And a charger is a platter or a deep bowl, the head of John the Baptist. So this is what the young girl asked for. And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sake, which sat with him, he could not reject her offer. So I'm thinking that his pride stopped him because he could have not given her the head of John the Baptist. But for his pride's sake, I'm thinking he did. Verse 27, immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded the head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in prison. The he that he's talking about is the executioner went and beheaded John the Baptist in prison and brought his head in a charger. Again, a charger is a platter or a deep bowl, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother, and her mother again is Herodias, because she didn't like what John the Baptist had said about her. And the king, that is, that he should not be with his brother's wife. Go back up to verse 18, you'll find where John the Baptist said unto Herod, it is not lawful for you to be with your brother's wife. Verse 29, when his disciples heard of it, they came and took the corpse and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves together apart into the desert place. And a desert place is like where there is no one around, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So he sent them to rest for a while. Verse 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and they knew him, and ran about, and ran afoot, went thither, that's towards him, about out of all the cities. Let me read verse 33 again. And when the people saw them departing, and they knew him, and ran afoot whither out of all the cities, and went out, and out went him, and came together unto him. So there was it was difficult with Jesus and his disciples to go any place because of his healing power and his compassion upon the people. The people followed him. Verse 34, and Jesus, when he had came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Verse 35, and when the day was now afar spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he said unto them, give you them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And they knew. They say, 5 and 2 loaves. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the grass. And they sat down in rank by hundredfolds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up towards heaven. He looked up unto heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. In the 2 fish divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 basketful of fragments in of the fishes. Verse 44. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained, and I believe constrained here means compelled or required, his disciples to get into the ship to go into the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent them away. And when he had sent them away, he departed unto a mountain to pray. And when he had come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the midst of the sea, and he on land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary. Contrary means opposite unto them, and they were about the 4th watch of the night. Now, I looked up on the computer. The 4th watch of the night is from 3 a.m. until 6 a.m. in the morning. And 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed he had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately talked with him. And they said unto him, and he said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I'm going to stop reading right here, sheep. We're at Mark chapter 6, verse 51. We will pick up reading there the next time. Right now, we are going to have a closing word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we sheep thank you for your constant protection from the evil one. We thank you for leading us not into temptation and delivering us from evil. I pray that you will come back and listen to us next Sabbath. I don't know. Hopefully we'll be back at the 8 o'clock hour. But if not, whatever time we will speak to you, I prefer 8 o'clock a.m. I don't know why I'm going through all of this, but that's because the devil is over the air. Remember, take our Heavenly Father with you everywhere you go.
Father,
and if it's God's will, I will be with you next time.
Help your children, and don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their hearts. Down. And I know He lies forever in my heart. We've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause He loves and His will.